Thank you, Lucy, for reading that so beautifully. How do you tell when you're halfway through a really hard journey? What's the midway point when you really start to droop? How do you measure halfway through the birth of a baby, for instance? And would that even be helpful, or would mama be so uncomfortable that it wouldn't really matter? What's halfway through a dangerous deployment in harm's way, halfway around the world? Does it help to know you've reached the halfway point? What's halfway through the journey of a difficult illness? You know, it's often in just these moments when we're wearing down from the journey that we need a glimpse of the end goal. We need a vision of that beautiful baby that's coming. We need a vision of all the folks who are going to welcome us when we get back home. We need a view of our life when we feel good again and we're back in the world. Well, as Matthew tells the story and ministry of Jesus, Jesus is about halfway through in this chapter when the transfiguration occurs. Now, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has already been called a blasphemer. He's been criticized for the table company he keeps. He's been read the riot act because his disciples don't seem to keep the law very well. He's been perpetually in trouble for breaking the Sabbath himself. And he's even been called possessed by demons. Golgotha is looming large in front of Jesus, and the pressure is mounting. His disciples, no doubt, are starting to wear down and wonder if they will ever get through this journey successfully. So it's just at this midpoint that the transfiguration occurs, a shining metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the word in Greek. A preview, a glimpse of what resurrected life is like. A stunning interruption to life as we know it. Well, we ourselves, unbelievably, are almost to Lent, which begins this Wednesday, our six-week journey to Easter Sunday. It's at this point in the church year, each year, that we celebrate the Transfiguration. Now, have you thought much about the church year? I know you noticed the beautiful job our altar guild does in changing the vestments. And our liturgies change, and some of the things we do in worship changes. The rhythm of our church year takes us through the birth and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus and birth of the church so that, our lives will be formed in this pattern. We travel the journey with Jesus in order to remember our identity as Christian people, and to make the journey our own. Our daughter Abby lived in Miami for 6 years. That is a wild town. I tell you what, fun to visit, but crazy to live in. Abby lived in a neighborhood called North Miami Beach. It's a little expensive, but she lived there because it was pretty safe for a woman, which is always something to think about when you're returning home late at night. David and I love visiting her there because it was a heavily Jewish neighborhood, and many of those Jewish people were Hasidic Jews, Orthodox. The men sometimes would wear what they call the beaver hats, a big furry hat made of rabbit pelts. Imagine that, 95 degrees in Miami, and they're faithfully wearing a symbol of their identity. Friday before sundown, the sidewalks to the synagogue were just full of people going to worship. And they would have their Shabbos goys, their Gentiles for the Sabbath. Somebody obviously not Jewish, like a Hispanic person pushing the baby buggy, carrying kids because they couldn't do work, faithfully going home and returning again Saturday morning. A huge stream of people who lived where they did because they counted the steps they could take on the Sabbath and they had to go to synagogue. One of Abby's friends said, you know, the Jews don't have a Sabbath. The Sabbath has the Jews. You know, that's exactly right. The Sabbath was the core of their identity, kept them on track, kept them in community, kept them focused on who they were in a city that had lots of other really crazy identities. Similarly, we Christians don't just keep the church year, but the church year keeps us. Our cycling through the year marks time so that we fall into a rhythm that reminds us of our primary identity, people of the resurrection. When we lived in Iran, people were always poking each other and pointing at David and I and saying, "Masihi, Masihi," the Messiah's people. There they are. So here we are once again, right on the cusp of Lent. Jesus is turning his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that really tough stuff awaits him there, suffering and death. He's midway through his ministry, according to the way Matthew tells it, and the hardest part, the big push, still lies ahead. It's essential that he and the disciples stay focused and stay faithful. And the Transfiguration gives us a sneak peek on what's on the other side of Good Friday. What's on the other side of the crucifixion? The glorified Christ. As he is, so shall we be. So today is a Sunday when we're encouraged to glimpse the risen Lord and remember the identity that belongs to the baptized. This is where we are heading as people of the resurrection, and Jesus has shown us what that glorified life that will one day be ours looks like. Now, every society has lots of fake identities that people buy into. You know, our culture says to us, oh, you need to be a consumer. You need to be a popular person. You need to be an always well-dressed person. Hopefully, you should always be young and very, very rich. I don't know about y'all. I haven't figured out how to do that. Sometimes people feel like I'm a worthless person. I have no value. I'm a lonely person. People stake their identities in trying to be in control of life, trying to be completely independent. But all of these are false identities. We need each other. We've lost sight of our deepest identity, beloved children of God, whose lives have meaning and purpose because Christ has redeemed us and promised us a glorious future. So we read and ponder the Transfiguration again. We get ready to enter the 40 days plus Sundays of Lent. Let's remember our true identity, people of the resurrection, because we know how the story turns out. And in the providence of God, Good Friday and suffering are never the last word. The last word is life, Easter, resurrection. In today's gospel, suddenly Jesus is transfigured. He's metamorphized before Peter, James, and John. His face is dazzling. His clothes are blazing. Jesus appears to be having a conversation with Elijah and Moses. Think about that, the Son of God conversing with the law and the prophets. Metamorpheo in Greek means literally to shine, to glow. How many of you have seen an ugly old caterpillar spin a silk web? Caterpillars really aren't that attractive. They spin a silk web. Looks kind of blobby, and they turn to mush inside. Ugh. And then you wait long enough, and what emerges? This beautiful caterpillar. Metamorphosis. Transfigured. Puts us in mind of Matthew 13, where Jesus says, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father." Yeah, they've been transfigured. Or Matthew 28, the angel at the tomb of Jesus, his appearance was like lightning, transfigured, shining, glorified. I suspect that this experience on the mountaintop was also transfiguring for the disciples who were there. Peter rushes around. I love Peter. He's so human. He rushes around yakking, yakking, yakking. Oh, let's build booze. Let's do that. Let's do this. Until finally God from heaven says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. In other words, button it, Peter. Listen. Peter, James, and John fall to the ground. They know they're in the presence of God. Their own profound change has begun. Unfortunately, those disciples like us are not meant to stay on the mountaintop. Our job is to come down and enter the fray of the world and resume our work. Peter especially will fail and fall again and again, and Jesus will lift him up with the reminder, listen to me. This is the Christian journey, isn't it? We have moments of faithful insight and deep growth. We have moments of distraction and desolation. Jesus raises us up, and we raise one another up in community, reminding ourselves to listen to the Lord. In this way, God continues to call us, save us, bless us again and again as we spend time with him. I had that blessing of being raised up this morning. Did you hear? I dropped my cell phone in Guatemala. Phone part still works, but the alarm wasn't working, so I dredged out my old trusty wind-up clock that I used in Guatemala, set the alarm for sure, 6:30. The only problem was it was on Guatemala time. So it went off at 5:30 our time. By 7:30, Guatemala time, 8:30 here, I was just puttering around having a wonderful time, all this time left for worship, when my dear friend Kay came to the door and said, are you all right? You're a little late. It's 8:35. We raise each other up. I was received so kindly, and I thank you for that. Absent-minded lapse, and with God's help, I'll do better. As we walk toward Easter Sunday, we will be completely human. And yet we will have moments of metamorphosis, of transformation. We've had some this past week, haven't we? At Betty Earhart's memorial service, her nephew Mark spoke so beautifully as a tribute to her life. Our warm shelter guests, what a blessing to see them safe, content, well fed. Our staff retreat that we had on Friday, our preparations for Lent, our visits with the family of faith in Guatemala. Holy moments when God lifts us up and leaves us shining. So, Lord, as we prepare to enter Lent, raise us up when we fall, for we are listening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.